Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the South Bay Show, South Bay Spotlight, on February 21st, 2019. Live, love, laugh, and leave a legacy. That's what we do here in the South Bay of Los Angeles, and it's a beautiful place to do just that.
The South Bay Show is brought to you by the Academy of Foreign Languages. If you have any interest in learning a new language or brushing up on existing language skills, you should know about the Academy of Foreign Languages. Located in Palos Verdes, the Academy of Foreign Languages specializes in the art of communication. Their mission is to provide the finest language instruction possible. They recognize that each student has distinctive needs and craft their teaching technique to optimize an individual's particular learning skills. At the Academy of Foreign Languages, they strive to create a comfortable environment conducive to learning. So whether you're learning a new language or would simply like to converse in your native tongue, the Academy of Foreign Languages can accommodate you. For additional information, visit their website at academyofforeignlanguages.com, that's all spelled out, or call 310-975-4133.
I'm your host, Joe Terry, and you can read all about our many adventures on Facebook at facebook.com/The South Bay Show. Persistence, passion, principle, and purpose. That's what we talk about here on the South Bay Show. And of course, I'm not alone because of our great partnership with South Bay by Jackie.com and executive producer of the South Bay Show, Jackie Balestra. Hey, Jackie, how are you today?
I am well. I'm doing well. You want to hear something really funny? I got up this morning and I turned on the news. Do you have Spectrum? Do you have Time Warner, or do you have something else for your cable?
We have Frontier.
You have Frontier. Okay. Well, Spectrum, which is the arm of Time Warner, they have a thing now where when you turn on your TV, it automatically goes to this Channel 1, Spectrum 1, they call it. You know how normally, say you're watching something at night and you turn off the TV and you go to bed, and then you get up and you turn the TV on, it's on the same station. Well, now it doesn't do that. Now it goes, every time you turn on your TV, it goes right to the Spectrum 1. So anyway, I turned on the TV this morning, and who was on it? You want to try and take a guess? Or we could do it all day if try doing a guess.
I don't know. Pope Francis.
No, but close. It was our friend Nick Arquette.
What?
Yeah, he was on Spectrum One. They interviewed him regarding his nonprofit Walk with Sally and what they do. Yeah. And they had a nice little segment with him,
Oh, that's great.
Yeah. I don't think I've ever seen Nick that early in the morning. We've spoken to him early in the morning, but I don't think I've ever seen him that early in the morning. So, I grabbed my phone. And I took a couple of pictures of the TV, so I got to post those to social media as soon as the show is over. I'm going to be posting pics of Nick on Spectrum One.
Yeah. And the weather has been so strange lately. It's been so clear.
I know.
But cold.
I know. Yeah. I woke up at I guess it was about 4:30 this morning, and boy, it was howling out there. Last week I posted on social media. I was like, is anybody's house getting hit with stuff? I mean, it was like every five seconds something was hitting my house. Things were falling on the roof. Things were hitting the sides, the windows. I was like, it was crazy. The wind, was it earlier this week or last week? And I'm trying to remember. But early this morning, it was howling out there. I could hear my deck furniture skittering across the deck.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
But now it seems calm.
Well, I think this is the calm before the storm. I just heard on Spectrum One, they do, you know, they do it all local, right? So it's specific to this area. They said that this afternoon is our best chance for rain and possibly thunder showers. So,
Wonderful.
So we'll see. Maybe we'll get a little thunder and lightning. All right.
Maybe. It's been quite quite the last few weeks of weather, or last month and a half or two of weather. But I'm looking for some warmth. I'm looking for some warmth. I hope it'll come soon. And we're going to talk about one of the jewels here in the South Bay. There are so many different jewels of various kinds and various topics, but this is really a very special place, a place where people learn about, you know, our greatest asset, which is the Pacific Ocean, which is right next door. And we're excited. Jackie, who are our guests today?
Our guests this morning are Maria Madrigal and Adrian Calbraith from C-Lab in Redondo Beach. Now, Maria has worked at the C-Lab program of the Los Angeles Conservation Corps since September of 1999 after graduating from Loyola Marymount University. After serving 2 years as an AmeriCorps member, she became a C-Lab staff member and established the volunteer program. In 2002, Maria took over all aspects of the education program. In 2005, she earned her Master of Science degree in Ecological Teaching and Learning from Lesley University and received the Informal Teaching Excellence Award from Quick Science Ocean Leadership Awards. She joined a team of scientists in American Samoa aboard a research vessel as part of NOAA's Teaching at Sea program in 2012. Now, after 15 years of leading environmental education programs and developing curriculum, she became the director of C-Lab. This past summer, she participated in Al Gore's Climate Reality Leadership Core Training. Now, Adrian Calbraith is the public program supervisor at the C-Lab and my contact over there. A resident of El Segundo, she loves the South Bay and hopes to inspire an appreciation for the environment and marine sciences throughout the community by hosting fun and educational events at C-Lab. Now, C-Lab has recently developed several new programs for the public, including the Nature Art Series and Badge Series. And this morning, we're going to learn about all the very cool stuff they offer the community. Maria, Adrian, welcome to the program. We're so glad you could join us this morning.
Thank you. Thank you for having us.
Well, thank you. Thank you for joining us. This is truly one of the most unique educational experiences I think that our children are able to take. There's a couple of boats that go out on the ocean that take children out there to experience the water, but the C-Lab is a very easy and simple experience for many people. Tell us about when it started. How did the C-Lab?
The C-Lab actually started out of a settlement between Earth Island Institute and Southern California Edison. And their goal was to try to encourage, you know, careers within the marine sciences. And so because of that interest, especially trying to target an audience that isn't widely represented in the marine sciences or in environmental education in general, they partnered with they chose the Los Angeles Conservation Corps, who had already a 10-year history of working with that demographic. And so the location where we are was actually Edison's research facility. And so it seemed like a natural fit for them to convert that and turn it into an education center, which is what we are now. And it really started with something, you know, very small. And, you know, over the years, we've developed it and grown it to be what it is today, which, you know, really we reach about, you know, anywhere from 10,000 to 18,000 kids every year.
It is quite a unique facility. What was the facility before C-Lab?
It was actually a research center for Southern.
Yes.
Okay. I think somebody was muted there. Adrian, you with us?
Yes, I'm still here.
Yeah.
So
okay.
at, anyway, so Maria was saying that it was research a center for the electric company. Adrian, how long have they been in that building? How long has C-Lab been in that building?
It's been there since 1997, so we just had our 20-year anniversary a couple years ago. So we've been around for quite a long time.
Okay. Wow. Okay. So we, you know, the extent of the training there, most people only experience with their children. Most people, do you find that a lot of adults find the C-Lab by themselves or through local hotels or so forth? Do you find that true?
I do think that a lot of people find out about it through local hotels or restaurants, things like that. But I feel like our core demographics are people with kids who are looking for an educational experience for them. So that is part of what we've been trying to do with some of the upcoming events, is to reach out to all different kinds of demographics, because while it is a really great place for kids, it's very hands-on and very educational. It's also really fun for adults who just want to learn a little bit more about marine science and, you know, do something that is a little bit out of the ordinary, the ordinary day. So, we do get some adults coming in without kids, but certainly our primary audience are families with young kids.
That would be me, right. Adrian. That would be me. I'm one of those adults that comes in without kids. I love the location. I love where it is. It's right on the bike path. It's right on the bike path. And many times, like, I'll be riding my bike, and you'll have like a special banner or something out there, and I'll just get off my bike and go in.
It's very accessible to people who are just on a morning walk or, you know, heading home from the beach and they just want to stop in. So we have a really cool location. It's right by the near where the yacht club is and the chart house. So it's definitely very accessible to everybody.
Joe, did you bring your kids there, Joe, when they were young?
Absolutely. That was a must stop for our children several times during their school years. Not just in preschool, which a lot of preschoolers go, but in the upper grades of secondary school, like 5th and 6th and 7th grade. That was a very popular place, and especially for those kids doing science projects based on the sea, they often would go to C-Lab and collaborate with docents there on their project.
Wow.
So
yeah.
Well,
did you guys come for the public, or did they happen to be on any field trips?
That was typically a field trip I'm thinking of from the Hermosa Beach School District.
Okay, cool. Very cool.
We're just hitting on all sorts of things here. So where should we start? You mentioned, Adrian, that your main demo is this kids in school. Tell us about homeschoolers, because there are so many more kids being homeschooled these days, and facilities like yours really help them to fulfill their requirements. Tell us how that works, please.
Well, we do have some field trip programming, which I think benefits homeschoolers a lot of the times, because it's, again, like I said, it's a low-cost way for schools, including, you know, public schools and also homeschools, to come and get some hands-on science experience. So, you know, they can come to the C-Lab. They can learn about the different kinds of local sea life. We generally do a touch tank tour where they can actually be able to touch some of the animals that we have. And that portion of it, I think, really makes that connection between the kids and nature. In the classroom, they're learning about it all the time, but until they see it up close and can touch it and, you know, really connect with it, I think that's when it kind of sinks in for them. So I think that's a really cool experience, especially for homeschool students to be able to have that available to them.
I would imagine that's got to make all the difference in the world from looking at a picture of a sea anemone in a book and seeing it up close and personal. It's got to make all the difference in the world.
Yeah, definitely. We, our core members who lead a lot of our programming, they're really excited about our animals and educating the kids, and you can just see it in the faces of the kids when they're going on a touch tank tour and learning about these animals, and they're getting to touch a sea cucumber and see how squishy it feels. You know, you can kind of see them lighting up as they're learning about these things. So it's really cool to be able to provide that kind of platform for them.
Right.
My favorite is the eels. The eels that you have in the tanks. They are just so.
The eels.
They're like prehistoric. You know, they're so strange looking, but they're so cool.
They're definitely a couple of characters.
Yeah, I'm glad you said that, Jackie, because a lot of people sometimes think that they're ugly, but they're one of my favorites too. So I'm glad that somebody else appreciates them as much as I do.
Yeah, no, they're very cool. I've dragged people in there just to see the eels. So, you know, let's just say I'm glad there's glass between us. All right, that's okay. Adrian sends me their flyers for their events every month, and it used to be for a long time it was your monthly fishtivities, and it, you know, generally on a Saturday from like 10 to 2 or something, and they were generally themed, you know, like during March they might have a St. Patrick's Day theme, during February they might have like a Valentine's theme, and I noticed in the last couple of months you've been adding a bunch of programs, a couple of programs. You want to tell us about those?
Sure. We've been trying to add more weekend programming. Like I said, about our demographic. Part of the reason is to be able to reach out to different people in the community who might not know about the Sea Lab and give them a platform to come in and get a little bit of hands-on activities. And part of it kind of stems from a scout day that we had done previously, where we had one day and there were multiple different activities where we were aiming towards Girl and Boy Scouts to come in and do these hands-on activities and earn credit towards badges. And we thought it would be really cool to kind of expand that and give them even more opportunities. You know, sometimes it would be difficult to do all of these different activities in one single day. So that kind of is where our Scout Badge Series came in. So that is activities that we kind of geared towards boy and Girl Scouts to earn badge credit and just give them a platform for that.
But it's not just open to Scouts, right? I mean, anybody, you don't have to be a boy or a Girl Scout to do those, correct?
Exactly. Yeah. We kind of gear the curriculum towards that, but it's open to the public. So we can, anybody who wants to get a little bit of marine science education or some hands-on outdoors experience, they're definitely welcome to join in because it's pretty fun for everybody.
Okay. All right. Continue.
Yeah. So that was kind of the idea behind our Scout Badge Series. So we had started doing that. And then luckily we have some core members and Maria, our director, who are very artistic. So we have started this nature art series, which has been really cool. We've been doing everything from building succulent planters to having bracelet making workshops. The last one we had was hosted by King Harbor Brewing Company just a couple weeks ago. So we've been doing all different sorts of things that aren't necessarily specifically marine science related, but it's definitely nature related. So the succulent planters, we can teach people about the local species of succulents. We can get them some hands-on experience building their own planters. So things like that, where we can kind of incorporate nature into arts and crafts and give people a different kind of platform.
You know, Joe, a couple of weeks ago, Adrian just mentioned, she mentioned the event sponsored by who was it? Was it King Harbor Brewing? That
yeah,
sponsored
King Harbor Brewing Company.
Yeah. King Harbor, it was called Bros, Beers, and Bracelets. Is that correct?
Yeah.
Yeah. Bros, Beers, and Bracelets. And I love that. You see, I love that. That's thinking outside the box, right?
Yeah, and definitely that was kind of our goal. You know, people who might go to the brewery just on a Saturday might not be the ones who would think about coming to the C Lab. So we're trying to reach that demographic and, you know, appeal to people who may not know about the C Lab and get the word out and let them know that it's a pretty cool place
right.
to come.
Yeah,
no,
you
that's
can go
very,
and
very
can...
important.
Yeah, you go, make a bracelet, have a beer, get it back on your bike. It could be part of a pub crawl or something. I like
yeah,
it.
Definitely.
You have to reach outside your home demographic so you can expand the program. Tell us a little bit, if you can, about how the C Lab is funded. In percentage terms, how much comes from the state, how much comes from your efforts, you know, retail and donations?
I think that would go to Maria.
That is Maria.
Okay, Maria.
Yeah, that's a question for me. You know, over the years, it's been about, you know, 50% have been private grants in terms of the funding. And then after our 10-year mark, we diversified a little bit more. So we have individual contracts. Some are federal, some have been state, you know, and it just varies year by year. But in the last few years, it's been, there's been loss of funding overall. And so we've had to rely on more on like actual fee for service programs. So kind of like all the programs that Adrian has been great about developing. We've been trying to do a lot more of that to again, increase the audience and diversify the audience that comes in to the C Lab, because again, it's been every year it's more challenging to apply for grants because you know there's so many programs, especially in Southern California, that it's very really competitive to receive a lot of the grants. So but overall it's varied over the year, but we kind of have a little bit of everything. So from private foundations giving us funds to you know the everyday person that walks in the door and gives a donation, it all adds up.
Fee for service, though, is something that is in your control, something that you can do. Is there a requirement that you do these fee for service operations in the C Lab facility, or can you branch out and have like the C Lab truck that could go to other locations and provide some contact with marine science outside of the facility?
Yeah, no, we can definitely, I mean, having the traveling tide pool really allows us to go out into the community. And like I said, and like Adrian said, our goal has been to reach out to our community partners too. We've worked with Tarzan, who's just, you know, next door to us, but working with King Harbor Brewery and working with any other local businesses to diversify who we reach. And again, trying to reach those people that maybe, you know, maybe running by the sea level. And we get that a lot of like, oh, I ride my bike there all the time. And not everybody like Jackie will stop by because they're, you know, they're on a mission. They're going somewhere. So trying to beyond just the C-Lab, we have done that. We go out to schools as well, and we go to community events as well with the traveling tide pool that we have had now for a little over, almost 15 years, I want to say.
I love
traveling
that. Traveling tide pool.
I know.
Yes.
The traveling tide pool. It doesn't
it
sound
just
feasible.
Falls off
how do you
the
travel? How do you travel with a tide pool?
Well, in the last year we received some funds to update our travel program. The name hasn't changed, but last year we received a trailer that we travel out. It allows us to basically have a platform where you know our instructor or our leader will be in the center, and our guests are the students. Are around the trailer and they all get a chance to touch and see the animals and
the instructor being in the center allow, you know, it can answer all the questions, giving everybody a chance to interact.
Traveling
time. So it's a great addition.
Yeah, fantastic.
I wanted to ask about. I'm not quite clear on what's going on, but I know for a couple of years there, a group down in the harbor, it may have been, it was Julie Cole. I can't remember if it was sponsored by the King Harbor Yacht Club or the Marina or whatever, but I know C-Lab was involved. There was a sea fair that they did for a couple of years, and I don't think they did it last summer, but tell us about that effort. That was like a harbor community effort. Was it Seafair?
Yeah, you're right. Yeah, Julie Cole was the main organizer for that, and the C-Lab got involved, I think, maybe 3 years ago, the first year that we kind of expanded. It started originally just at the King Harbor Yacht Club, and then when we got involved, we expanded it to obviously reach the C-Lab and the King Harbor Yacht Club. So it was in two locations, and then the last year that we did it, we created the other side of the harbor to really make it a larger community event. But an event like that takes a lot of energy and a lot of effort. And so this past year, we chose Julie's plate was pretty full, and so was mine. And so we reached out to other people, and it's just the timing wasn't right, I think, for others to step up and kind of help organize the event. But it was a really great event that, highlighted a lot of what the marina does and just the harbor does here. Everybody from stand-up paddleboard organizations participated, water safety. It just covered a lot of topics that highlight what Redondo can offer.
Yeah, I remember that the last year that you did it, it was so spread out that they actually, I think they had shuttle buses to take you from the different points of where things were going on.
Right.
And Joe, it comes back to it again, that you're 80-20. Is it 80-20% or is it 90-10%? What are we going with these days?
80-20 is the standard.
Okay, 80-20.
Unless you're trying to, yeah.
Yeah, but Julie Cole, as Maria just said, you know, this, she was the organizer for this. You know, and yeah, life gets busy, you know, you can't do everything, so things suffer. But it's like, you know, she brought all these people together to make this thing happen, and she just, her plate got, you know, filled, and she couldn't do it. And so, unfortunately for the community, you know, we lost a good event. You know,
it really
does take up, you know, the nonprofits and the volunteers and the people willing to grab the clipboard and make it happen.
Yeah, I mean, and hopefully somebody in the future can, you know, decide that it was worth having and, you know, and bring it again. But again, yeah, the timing was, for both of us, carry such a large event, was a little bit beyond what we could handle, unfortunately.
Oh, we get it. We get it. We understand that completely. Hey, Joe, why don't we do a quick station break?
Sure. Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to the South Bay Show, and we're very thrilled to have you. We're on the air from 8 to 9 Thursdays and Fridays. On Thursdays, it's South Bay Spotlight, and on Fridays, it's the Manhattan Beach Chamber 360. We love these shows, and we hope you'll join us and share them with your friends and neighbors around the world. And today, we're talking with the C-Lab. Maria and Adrian are giving us the lowdown on all the programs that the C-Lab has to offer, and we're talking about a very unique resource here in the South Bay. Most of our children in the beach cities have had some contact with the C-Lab, and they're expanding their efforts, and we're having a great time. What's next, Jackie? What do we want to know next?
Well, I want to touch on the volunteer program, because, again, without the volunteers, a lot of these organizations just wouldn't be able to bring what they do to the community. So who wants to tell us? Adrian, do you handle the volunteer program?
I do, yeah. So our volunteer program is, it's a pretty cool program. It's definitely very hands-on. so we get volunteers through online applications, and we generally do an orientation when we get enough volunteers and have the need to bring more on. So they go through an orientation process and a training. And then from that point, they are doing a lot of stuff around the C-Lab, everything from helping us clean the tanks to making crafts for birthday parties and leading our touch tank tours. So we find that a lot of the volunteers that come to us are, you know, they're obviously very interested in marine science. But they're also getting some other skills too. You know, they're learning how to work with the public. Sometimes public speaking can be one of their not so strong points, and we're getting them kind of that experience, being able to lead a group through through the touch tank tours. And I think it's a really fun and educational experience for them. A lot of our volunteers are high school students from around the area. We do have volunteers who work in our native plant nursery. So volunteers are definitely, you know, very pivotal to what we do. We wouldn't really be able to run on the weekends a lot without them. They're leading our tours. They're, you know, they're helping us reach out to the public. So we really love our volunteers.
Is it strictly younger people pursuing an education in marine sciences? I'm sure that fulfills some credits for them, but do you get any of the older population, seniors, coming in to volunteer?
Sometimes, yeah. It's not as much as the high school population, especially as of late. But we do get some seniors coming in to help us out, especially on weekdays, you know, because obviously high school students can't really come in on weekdays. So we do really like to have the older population coming in and helping us out, too.
Yeah, that's important. That's important. The volunteers, they keep the wheels turning, Joe.
They do.
Well, we love the program. We love the facility. Now we want to make sure that it continues, and we want to know how people can help. Maria, how can people get involved if they want to become a part of the family?
Oh, that's a great question, and thank you for asking that. I mean, there's two ways, just to follow up on the volunteering aspect of things. Adrian mentioned our native plant nursery, and we do have still a restoration project out on the Redondo Beach Bluffs along the Esplanade. And we will be having a few volunteer days out there on Saturdays from 9 to 12, starting in March. And so we'll be posting that information out because people want to participate that way. That's a one-time volunteer thing. If we need, you know, a few hours for school as well, it could be a great day for that. So, I mean, obviously volunteering your time is a great way of doing that. But financially, people can also just go directly to our website, our parent website, which is the Conservation Corps website, which is www.lacorps.org. And that's lacorps.org. And if there's a button that says donate, you can then designate where your funds, you want your funds to go to. And so you just click on that button and you say the C-Lab, and then those funds will go to us. Because again, the C-Lab is just one program of the LA Conservation Corps. So you just want to make sure you make that little designation to make sure that your help is going to the right place.
Or you could pop in on a bike ride and go in and just stick a couple of bucks in the box there. You know, that it doesn't get any easier than that, right?
Yeah.
And by the way, I did not know that it was C-Lab that's doing the bluff restoration. I had no idea. I remember when that started.
Many years ago, actually.
Is it just C-Lab, or are you doing that in conjunction with somebody else, or is it LA Conservation Corps?
Well, it's the C-Lab crew that's out there doing the work, and it's this time we went back to the bluffs with the sponsorship from Boeing and from U.S. Fish and Wildlife Services. So again, when you asked about you know, where does our funding come from? This is an example of funding sources from two different organizations. You know, one is government and another one is private, so, or corporate. And so, but it's a way to come back and just kind of replenish. You know, we did the restoration project, like you mentioned, back in like 2005, 2006. And, you know, the Bluffs kind of established themselves. But what we're doing now is going back and giving it a little bit of help, you know, kind of putting more of the buckwheat, which is the host plant for the endangered El Segundo blue butterfly, which is why that project was started. And just kind of giving it a little bit of help of putting more natives in there, because over time the weeds, you know, creep in, and especially with all this rain, we've had a lot of, which is great. But it also, you know, it helps the weeds grow as much as it does the natives. So we're going to have the volunteer day.
You know, I have to tell you, I remember, as I said, I remember when that started. I would see people out there because I walk my dog every day along there.
Mm-hmm.
And Joe, I don't know if you remember, but those bluffs along the Esplanade, it used to be all ice plant, which I don't know the history of ice plant. I don't know if it's native to this area or whatever, but it wasn't, I guess, what was originally there. And they came through and they, you know, pulled out a bunch of this ice plant and they put these native shrubs and stuff in. And I have to tell you what a difference it made, because you would walk a lot, again, I would walk there every day, sometimes twice a day. Mm-hmm. And there was no life. There was no life. Within, I would say, 6 months of them doing this restoration, I remember walking along. I remember the first time I saw it was some sort of a lizard, a newt, an aphid. I don't know what kind it was, but it was, you know, it was about 5 or 6 inches, and it ran across my feet on the Esplanade, went into the bushes, and soon afterwards you started seeing butterflies and more you know, insects and stuff, but it made an absolute difference in that. Now I see those. I don't know what they are. One of you ladies probably can tell me what they are. What are the little lizards that run around there?
There's two types of lizards, and I'm learning this myself because obviously my knowledge is stronger with the marine life. But I know there's a western fence lizard that's out there, and I forget the other one. But there are two that are specifically in that area. And it's great to hear that people make those observations just like you did, Jackie. You know, there's more birds there. There's more life there. Mm-hmm. And, yeah, the ice plant is actually not local. It's, I think, originally from Africa.
And it's ugly. It's ugly except for the 3 weeks it blooms in April. But the rest of the time, it's just ugly. But it really did. And I remember that lizard ran across. It scared the pants off me. You know, you're walking along, and all of a sudden something runs across you, and you're like, whoa, what is that? So it absolutely has made all the difference in the world. And one other quick observation, I'm originally from the East Coast, right? Normally, for most of the country, for the vast majority of the country, the winter is cold, dark, dreary, brown. Trees are bare of leaves, you know, and a lot of it's buried under snow. Never ceases to amaze me how here in Southern California, when winter rolls around, everything greens up. I mean, if you're just with all this rain we're having, literally driving any street that has like a median that's normally just like hard pack, right? Everything is green now. Everything is covered in green. If you look up at Palos Verdes on the hill, it's all green. If you go down to the Esplanade, it's exploding.
Yes, yes.
Right.
So it's really amazing to see you.
In the middle of February. It, you know, December, January, February, when in your mind you're thinking, oh, it should be, you know, cold and everything here is turning green. I mean, so help me God, Joe, I've seen so much green. It's like, I'm like, is this Ireland? It's just, I mean, just lush, really, really, really lush. So, yeah, I had no idea that it was C-Lab that was doing that restoration. Well, kudos to you.
Well, thank you. Yeah, and I said, you know, people ask us, you know, how can we get involved? And there's so many different ways. Like you said, you can walk in, participate in the activities that we offer. You can come out to the Bluffs and help with that project as well. And one of the other, actually, that Adrienne is helping coordinate is another educational opportunity is at the Bluffs. It's a seasonal observation. So when we are doing the work out there in the afternoons from 1 to 3, we're also going to be doing a phenology series. And phenology is basically simply observations that you make as the seasons change. And a lot of times people say, you know, California doesn't really have seasons, but we do. You know, there are subtle changes that happen throughout the months and the seasons. And so this series will be focusing and looking at that specifically. You know, what type of plants are blooming? When are they blooming? What kind of life do you see? What are those two little lizards that are running around? So it's a great series. Mm-hmm. And the first one will be, again, we're starting this, actually introducing it this Saturday with the Nature Sketch class that we're doing. And then it'll officially start the following month in March. So that's another thing for people to look out, just to keep track of that and see when those classes come up as well.
So, mm-hmm. So has the blue butterfly made an appearance on the bluffs? Do we know?
The bluffs, yes, the blue butterfly shows up every summer. Their flight season begins maybe, we saw them last year, late May, and they are, you can see them through August pretty much. So they're out there, and we will also have Andalki, who is our advisor, who's a biologist that kind of started this whole project many years ago. She does butterfly walks. And so in the summer, we'll also advertise those. But again, last year we saw them at the end of May when we were working out there, and you'll see them June, July. They're really tiny, but
they're really tiny.
Binoculars out there. Yeah, they're really
tiny.
They're like no bigger than the size of a quarter. So I mean, they're really small. But they're beautiful to see. Once you see one, though, you can really spot them everywhere.
Yeah, yeah. Adrian, you were going to say something? You were going
to
add something?
Yeah. I just wanted to kind of add on to what Maria was saying about our phenology series and just ways to get involved. We have a whole bunch of things coming up within the next month or two between now and April. We actually have two things coming up this Saturday. One of them is the phenology series where we'll focus on, you know, how to be a responsible observer of nature, really teach people how to spot the details, like Maria was saying, about the changes in various species as the seasons change. But we're also in the morning this Saturday, we're going to do a birding class, which that is going to be co-hosted by Bob Shanman from Wild Birds Unlimited. And that is going to be at the Sea Lab, and we'll be birding. So we'll be teaching participants about local species, what kind of birds they can see just by literally going outside to the marina. And that's what we'll be doing. We'll also be going over binoculars, doing a trek outside, and getting some hands-on birding experience. So those are other ways that people can get involved. And we really benefit from word of mouth. So if people are hearing about this event and maybe it doesn't exactly appeal to them, but they know somebody who loves birding, tell your friends, tell them to follow us on Facebook, like us on Instagram, check us out on Eventbrite, because we'll be posting all of these events. And, you know, if you hear about it from somebody, and it might not be your thing, but it might be somebody else's thing. So I think that's really beneficial to us when people kind of spread the word mm-hmm. about the things we have coming up.
I have to apologize. I believe I've been pronouncing your name wrong this whole time. It's Adrienne, not Adrian.
That is true, yeah.
Okay, I apologize.
My mom specifically will pronounce each syllable, Adrienne.
Adrienne, okay, Adrienne.
Yeah.
Adrienne, okay. So one of the other things I wanted to ask you about is your physical location. Over the last couple of years, there's been a lot of talk about redevelopment of the harbor and, you know, all these things going on, the sale of the AES plan, of which your building, it was originally a part of. Do you know if you are going to, you know, if and when anything happens with the AES property across the street, do you know what is the fate of Sea Lab?
Don't have a concrete idea exactly what will happen, but we are working with the city and the new owner to try and figure out, what exactly will be the best location for us in the future. But at this point, we're basically just kind of still exploring different options.
Mm-hmm. So right now it's just the AES. They let you be in that building. They're just letting you use it. They didn't give you title to it or anything. They're just letting you use it.
Correct. Over the years that we've been there, AES, once they purchased the property from Edison, allowed us to stay in that location, you know, and they said over the years, as long as that they would be here, that we would be there. But if, as you know, they are selling the property, and so it does impact us. And like you said, we're still exploring different options to see, mm-hmm. you know, what is the best fit and the best location for us in the future.
Yeah, it's a good location. Mm-hmm. It's a good location.
Is the sale complete? Has the new owner actually committed to purchasing, or is it still in process?
I believe the purchase of our actual plot is done, but I think I think the sale of the larger property is still in negotiations, as far as I'm concerned. As far as I know.
I see. Well, it's they would be if they wanted to continue the tradition of having, you know, obviously entertainment and education on the waterfront. Obviously, the Sea Lab would be an integral part of that, and I'm sure they would hear that from everyone that they talk to, including the city and others. So I'm sure that they will consider that because it's just such an amenity to have education about this wonderful resource called the Pacific Ocean, right near the Pacific Ocean. It kind of fits. I'm sure that they will want.
We hope so. We hope that is the bigger picture.
Right.
It's just a cool build. It's a cool building. It's just a cool building. You know.
Right. Right.
You know, it's you know, they don't make them like that anymore, you know.
Yeah,
it's a very
absolutely.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. It definitely sets us aside from other aquariums. I mean, we always say, you know, we may not be pretty, but we are definitely you know, a little unique in that way. It ties in the history of the place, you know, and we've done the best that we can with it and turned it into an education center. So I think it's an interesting location, and it does make us unique in that sense of, because, you know, in Southern California, there are many other marine education centers, you know, in different areas because we are so large. But, you know, we stand out a little bit in that sense of converting an industrial location basically to a marine education center that, you know, can educate kids about local marine life. And like you said, you know, those that can afford to go out in a boat, that's great. But if you can't, or maybe you're afraid or you get seasick, you know, we offer that easy opportunity to just walk in and learn about the local marine life that we have here. So, and at an affordable rate. I mean, we used to be free, but like I said, we've had some financial issues. And so last year was the first year that we started charging an admission fee of $5, which is still very affordable. And, you know, it's still free for kids. So it's a great family event, you know, a family place to come, because if you go anywhere else, you know, a family of four can easily spend a lot of money. But here, the adults are the ones that pay and the kids come in for free. So, you know, we really want to encourage more people to come and take advantage of the fact that we are here for people to learn and ask questions. And our volunteers and our core members are really excited to share their knowledge.
You know, now that you mention that, a family of four, mm-hmm. boy, oh, boy. You know, even if you're just going for a day of skiing now, do you have any idea how much lift tickets are now? I mean, lift tickets have gotten so expensive, you know, and skiing is just an extreme example of that. I mean, there are some ski resorts that are charging a $200 a day lift ticket, you know, but never, as I said, that's an extreme example. Even a day at going to a ball game is super expensive now. Mm-hmm. I mean, never mind just buying the tickets, the hot dogs and popcorn and all the other stuff, but you're right. And you get to see the eels. Now, tell me something. Those eels that you have in those tanks, they actually are in our water here? Anybody?
Maria?
I'm sorry, Jackie, what was the question again? I'm sorry.
The eels that you have in the tanks, are they slithering
are they local?
Around?
Yes.
Wow, okay. I didn't need
they
to know that.
I mean, you'll have to go search really hard for them, but they're in like rocky crevices, so they they're not necessarily going to be out when you're swimming. But if you go into a rocky area, they'll be in there. They're local to Southern California for sure.
Yeah, I'll stay away from the areas.
How deep do they like to be naturally?
Naturally, I mean, if you go we've been to Catalina, you go off of the pier, they're right there. So they're only a few feet down. As long as they have a nice, little crevice to go and hide in, they can be anywhere. So they're not that deep. So you can, if you are, snorkeling or a scuba diver, you can encounter them if you're go searching for them. Jackie. Don't worry about that.
Yeah,
they won't.
You it's so years ago, my husband and I were in Tahiti, and I was, I don't remember if I was scuba diving or snorkeling, but I was under the water, and I was looking at this, it was like a reef or something. I don't know the technical name, but it was very crevicey. It was probably some sort of coral, and I just remember looking at it, and it took me a couple of seconds to realize that there were maybe a dozen heads of eels looking back at me. Just their heads were sticking out of the holes in this rock
of
coral.
Cool.
Oh, God, scared me to death. Scared me to death. I mean, I took a big gulp of water and almost drowned. I was like, because I was just, takes your brain a little bit to realize what you're seeing. I was just seeing coral.
Mm-hmm.
And then all of a sudden I was like, and that was it. So, I'll stay away from the rocky bits. tell us, give us your hours, days of operation, and give us some contact info of if people want to find out more or contact you. Give us all the stuff on the info page on your website.
All right. Right now we're open on Saturdays. We're open from 10 to 4. Like Maria was saying, it's only $5 per person. Kids are still free. If you are going to stop by, I highly recommend doing a touch tank tour. We do them on the hour every hour, starting at 10 o'clock. Last one's at 3 o'clock, and it's super fun. So 10 to 4 on Saturdays. You can find us on Facebook at facebook.com/the.C.lab.LA Corps. Or just go to Facebook and look up the Sea Lab program of the LA Conservation Corps. We're on Instagram at the Sea Lab. You can find our events on Eventbrite. If you go to Eventbrite and then just type in the Sea Lab, it'll come up with all of the ones that we've posted. If you still have more questions, you can always contact me, Adrienne. You can call 310-318-7438. That's the Sea Lab main line. You can also send us an a message on Facebook. You can send me an email. It's a long one, but I can spell it out for you if you'd like. So there's a whole bunch of ways to get in touch with us.
All right. And last but not least, we always like to, we know that nothing gets done without sponsors. If you would like to give a shout out to any of your sponsors, now's the time to do it.
Yeah, I mean, I just wanted to, like you said, Jackie, nothing gets done without sponsorship. And West Basin Municipal Water District, who serves the South Bay, is a great supporter. And, they sponsor our programs and they really help us get the message across about marine conservation, but also water conservation in general, which ties in nicely to the fact that we do have a native plant nursery and we have that restoration project out there. But I think Adrienne wants to talk more about the local sponsors as well.
Oh, I just wanted to give a shout out and a thank you to some of the businesses that we've been pairing up with and, just our community partners that have been really helpful in being so on board with organizing events with us. Bob from Wild Birds Unlimited, Linda from USCC Grant. We did a pairing with Tarsan, stand-up paddleboarding, King Harbor Brewing Company, and REI, to name a few. So we're just really thankful for those community partners that are very willing to help us out. Also, in March, we have a foraging class coming up, and that is going to be led by Amanda Jones, and she has her own website called Botanical Busters. So she is another community partner that we're really thankful for.
Whoa. Foraging class, as in going out and foraging for things that you can eat?
That is true. That's coming up the last Saturday in March. So it's going to be
okay.
Pretty cool. Yeah.
Where would you go to do that?
That is going to take place at the C-Lab. So there are a few neighborhood patches around the C-Lab. She's really amazing. I've seen her, one of her classes before. And, you know, she will teach you how to find all of those plants that you see every single day and just don't take into consideration that they can be used for, they can be food, they can be used for medicine or, you know, spiritual qualities. So she's going to point out all of those plants that people walk past every day and don't realize all of the benefits that they might have.
You know, mm-hmm. I know a little bit about this, Joe, I know a little bit about mm-hmm. this because years ago I was a Martha Stewart fan. And she's big on this. I know that you can eat dandelion greens, and
right.
Is it ranunculus? Ranunculus flowers are edible, I think.
Mm-hmm.
I think.
I don't know. Edie.
Yeah. There's a fiddlehead ferns you can eat.
Mm-hmm.
I don't remember all, but I kind of used to know a little bit about that. But that would be fun. That's my idea of fun.
Wow.
So, yeah. You can, Joe, if you're still doing your, are you still a vegetarian?
I am.
Well, there you go. This is a class you could have. You could probably find a whole freaking meal in your backyard.
Yeah.
Okay.
You
well,
know, right.
we actually have a little garden, and it's doing very, very well, and it has loved the recent weather and all the rain. So we're doing very well right now. Yeah.
I bet.
It's wonderful.
Well, okay.
Adrienne?
Adrienne?
Yes.
Wonderful to have you with us, and we love the C-Lab. Thank you for joining us today.
Thank you, guys. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
Maria Madrigal, thank you for joining us today.
Thank you for having us. We really appreciate this outlet to let people know more about our program. So thank you so much.
Yeah, this format is very, very, intimate. I think people that listen to the show will feel that they've actually sort of met with you and talked with you on a one-to-one basis, and that's what we really strive for, so that people feel that they've seen you and talked to you and will feel comfortable coming in to the C-Lab. And there's plenty of parking. It's very easy to get to. We'd like to see you all come down and visit them at the C-Lab. It's wonderful before
or
after
the address.
A long
we
walk.
Need to, we,
yes.
We the need address. The address. Yeah, the address.
Oh,
it's
1021
North
Harbor Drive in Redondo Beach.
And directions. Just straight down, for me, straight down Herando.
Yeah.
Take a left.
Right. It's at the intersection of North Harbor Drive and Yacht Club Way. So there's a sign for the Chart House restaurant right there. You can't miss us. We have a big sea life mural on the side of our building. So that's where we are.
Yes. Fantastic.
Yes.
Fantastic. Thank
kinda
you
hard.
So much. And we'll see you at the sea soon.
Mm.
At the Sea Lab.
We hope so.
Thanks, everyone. Thank you, Jackie.
Thank you.
Always
Thank
a pleasure,
you.
Joe.
And there you go. That's our show, ladies and gentlemen. We'll see you tomorrow. What are we doing tomorrow, Jackie?
Tomorrow we're going to have a couple of representatives from the Manhattan Beach Leadership Class. They're going to talk about their class project, which is going to be very impressive.
Right. Okay. Fantastic. All right. Thank you, everyone. Talk to you soon. Bye-bye.
Bye.